Okay, we're again kicking off this informal hearing. I'm Randy Christman from the Public Service, North Dakota Public Service Commission, joined by Commissioner Sherry Haugenhofer and Commissioner Julie Fedorchak. This is case number PU-24-288. It's a ETC application for Global Connections doing business as stand-up wireless. Commissioner Haugenhofer, did you have any opening comments?
No, I do not.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
I don't either.
Okay. So we'll go around the room here and identify everybody that's on the call and in the room. I want to emphasize, though, that this is an informal hearing, meaning it only involves undisputed information. If there are details that are disputed, we will have to wrap up the informal hearing and schedule a formal hearing. In these cases, the applicant goes first. First of all, we have our Director of Public Utilities, Victor Shook, and Legal Counsel Brian Johnson here. If you could each give us your name and title and such that are on the call, please.
Good afternoon, commissioners and staff, and thank you for your time today. My name is Lance Steinhardt. I'm the attorney for Global Connection, Inc. of America, DBA Stand Up Wireless. And we have one gentleman who's going to be speaking on behalf of the company today, Jason Van Arsdale. Jason, if you could introduce yourself, please. Thank you.
And I sincerely apologize for my technical difficulties. So my name is Jason Van Arsdale. I'm the Vice President of Government Relations and Product Development at Stand Up Wireless. I've been in the Lifeline industry since 2015, and I've been in telecom since 2006.
Thank you for that. And before we really get into it, Mr. Steinhardt, did you say your first name is Mike?
My name?
Yes.
Lance.
That's what I thought. For some reason, I just thought I heard Mike, and that's why I was confused.
I may have said Mike. I don't know. I'm getting old. Most of the time, I know my name.
Okay. Well, because that's what's showing on the screen, and that's what I always thought it was in previous cases. So glad to have you back.
You can call me Lance. You can call me Mike, whatever you'd like. Thank you.
Okay. We'll go with Lance until you tell us differently.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
My parents will be glad.
You or Mr. Van Arsdale, go ahead and kick us off here.
Lance, do you want to start, or should I just go through the...
I mean, the company is applying for ETC designation in the state of North Dakota. The company's been in business since 2012. It underwent an ownership change in the latter part of 2018, and the current owners and Jason in this current iteration of the company even started in 2018. They have almost 40 state ETC designations. And now they're applying in the state of North Dakota. One thing I will tell you is now that ACP has gone away, I think you're going to find in the industry in general that most companies will not only not market in North Dakota, but they won't market in any states that don't have state funds, and most of the competition will be in California like it was pre-ACP and pre-EBB. Right now, I think you'll find that Stand Up Wireless is, I'm pretty sure we can get numbers if you want. Jason can back me up on this. But they are enrolling more customers in 925 states, we'll call them. Those are ones that do not have state funds than any other company out there. And one of the reasons they can do it is the majority or the owner, the ultimate owner through trust and individual is company that owns the largest T-Mobile aggregator in the country. It's called Prepaid Wireless Group. They provide service on the T-Mobile network to a large portion of the Lifeline industry, and they did a huge portion in the ACP business. So, and not only that, the owner also is, will come up later. He has a company that manufactures handsets, which are the handsets that the company uses, and they're way over all federal specs. So the company does have some competitive advantages and is able to, you know, make small margins in these 925 states, which most companies have struggled to do ever since they changed the minimum standards and required the 4.5 gigs of data. Because the standard offering is, you know, like 1,000 minutes or less, unlimited text, and 4.5 gigs of data. And to get paid only $9.25, it's a very, very slim margin business. But the way the company and its affiliates are structured and work together, they can compete and will compete in North Dakota. I know the commission has asked questions before with previous applicants of mine. You know, we get these companies, say you're going to come in here, and then they don't do anything. I think some of my last ones that I said would did, and I know Stand Up will be a big participator in the North Dakota Lifeline market.
Well, Lance, can I ask you a question regarding that?
Yes.
So when you say coming to North Dakota, what does that mean? Are you going to have an office here? I mean,
so we have in-person distribution in the majority of states where we distribute. We're approved in 35 states plus Puerto Rico, so 36 states and territories. We have in-person distribution in the vast majority of those, and we will be looking to have outside distribution in North Dakota. We don't have that partnership lined up yet. That's not uncommon, but we are going to be seeking a relationship like that, and we'll start with online marketing.
I understand, Jason, I understand that, but what do you mean by in-person distribution?
So it can be a number of things. We have 10 events, we can do those. We do, often we'll have distribution set up. They'll have like a relationship with a store of some kind. We have a lot of distribution that actually sets up with Kroger. Like they talk to the Kroger stores and they distribute outside of those in low income areas. So there's that. They also do some door. We also have some door to door activity as well. That's not in the northern states. That's harder to do all year round. You know, it gets cold up there, right? So that's why we rely on online marketing as well.
Thank you.
Happy to help.
So you can continue.
So we have 910,000 Lifeline subscribers across the country today.
How many?
It's 910,000, and we're growing. From our analysis, it looks like there's about 75,000 people in North Dakota that qualify for Lifeline, but only 9% of those people are actually served by a Lifeline provider. So that's one of the reasons why we want to come into North Dakota. Has helped change that, because low-income people in North Dakota are, by those that analysis, are underserved. We want to help change that. And we're prepared to offer service wherever T-Mobile has coverage, and that includes on tribal lands. And we'll be, as Lance mentioned, the offer, so we'll our base free offer is 1,000 minutes unlimited text and 4.5 gigabytes of data. And right now we are offering a free phone along with that. So customers will get that service every month as long as they qualify and participate by the rules, and they'll get a free phone along with it. Currently right now we offer handsets under the Vortex brand. We are offering smartphones under the Vortex brand right now. We've offered Blue Sky and new tablets and smartphones in a recent past, but right now we're just using Vortex. Happy to answer any other questions you all might have.
I would like to add in here too that I am virtually certain that nobody else is going to be offering a free handset in North Dakota right now. I don't know for a fact, but I'm almost certain that nobody else is. Jason, do you find that in the market too?
I'm not sure of all of the ETCs that are approved, but I know I was in the field in Ohio just last week, and the carriers that have historically been out there, you know, when ACP was a thing, are not out in the field anymore. There were only three providers that were out in the fields. We were one of two of the three that were offering a phone. We were the only one offering a free phone. One was just offering a SIM kit. The other one was a $20 handset. So I can't speak specifically to the carriers that are in North Dakota and their specific offer, but I can tell you what I saw in other 925 states recently, and no, nobody else was offering a free phone.
Well, Lance, how many ETC approvals have we done since, I believe it was early May when ACP ran out, just among your clients?
Probably 4 or 5, I'm thinking.
So apparently they're still interested.
For what it's worth, so I mentioned.
I don't think anybody applied after ACP, but certainly there's interest everywhere from all these clients. But I think Global Connection is uniquely situated to provide this service based upon their relationships with their carrier, their MVNE is affiliated, and so is their phone manufacturer.
Yeah.
So I think in general, you know, they're making very little money or breaking even, but they can subsidize it. Other people can't do that. It's very, very difficult to make any profit with a 925 when you have to give away 4.5 gigs of data, along with the voice and text.
Is the list of the, I think at the time when you filed the application, you were at 33 states plus Puerto Rico. Are those in here? It's been a little while since I went through the application.
So I can.
We've got a couple recently and a few more coming. Trying to think what the recent ones were.
Mississippi was very recent. Alabama was.
We got Mississippi recently. I don't know if that's on the application. I think that was one of the more recent ones.
What might be easier?
We're about to be approved in New Jersey.
Would you be able to submit a late filed exhibit just kind of detailing what current states you're an authorized ETC eligible?
Absolutely.
Okay. That would be helpful. One other question. So you listed out you have 910,000 Lifeline subscribers today. How many total customers do you have?
And it do, so that would be 940,000 customers. So those additional customers would be customers that have chosen to, they're no longer enrolled in Lifeline. The vast majority of them are no longer enrolled in Lifeline, but they've chosen to keep Stand Up Wireless in service through purchasing a top up.
Okay.
That they are able to maintain their phone number in service.
Okay. So you don't have a large presence of customers outside of the Lifeline program.
That's true.
Okay.
We try to change that.
Sure. And I guess that's kind of one of the FCC provisions that we have to kind of look at as part of the proceeding is that the company isn't solely reliant upon the Lifeline program financially. So I guess what would be your response to that question?
I would say that we do have a prepaid product and we are able to offer prepaid service. I'd also say that I'm in the process of it's not available yet. So I don't know if I'm allowed to, based on the guidelines you gave before, statements of fact, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I am working on a process that will allow us to sell that prepaid service in person. So when a, if we have in-person distribution and they are doing door-to-door events, and they go to somebody's house and service, but there's three people in the house using a cell phone service, instead of only being able to serve one of those people in that moment, they'll be able to serve all three, one with a lifeline benefit and two people with a prepaid. I'm working on that.
Sure.
Not ready yet, but I'm working.
Can we identify where all the... There's a lot of outside noise coming in here, and I'm having trouble understanding Jason.
Probably me. Let me.
I think Vance needs to mute when he's done speaking. Yeah. There.
Thank you.
Oh, and that's fine. There's no problem with stating something you're working on. That's not a issue for the hearing. How about as far as the company's financial structure? I mean, do you have access to capital from investors and other funding sources other than just strictly the Lifeline program?
I would say I'd have to come back. I don't have visibility into that information myself. Okay.
And that's fine. Maybe as part of that late filed with the list of states that you're designated in, just kind of how you would, like I said, it's one of the things that we answer as part of our order when we consider eligible telecommunication carrier designations, is that they're financially viable outside of strictly Lifeline funding. So whatever you're able to
do.
Go ahead, Lance.
Hello. You want to chime in?
I'm sorry. So I could add in here from other state filings we've done and data requests, et cetera, that Prepaid Wireless Group has made a commitment to provide financial assistance that is needed for stand-up wireless to provide the Lifeline service. They've stated that on the record in other states. That's a very profitable aggregator, so to speak, MVNE of T-Mobile service, the largest in the country. Last I think they had about 7 million end user customers. It's last number I recall.
Okay. Yeah, if you want to include that and whatever else you may have just as part of that late file, that'll help kind of answer that question. And then just kind of talking about different company names here. So, I mean, this came in under the name of Global Connect. You're doing business as Stand Up Wireless. So I'm assuming that's how you would intend to market in North Dakota, is under the Stand Up Wireless name?
Correct.
Okay. And then I forget. I know I kind of peeked at the FCC compliance plan, but which name is that one in? Is that under Global Connect?
Stand Up Wireless is, so Global Connections Inc. of America is doing business as Stand Up Wireless.
Sure.
That answers your question. Sorry.
No, I guess I was just curious with your FCC compliance plan, and I can just kind of thumb back to it here, but I'm curious as to under what name the FCC compliance plan was approved under Stand Up Wireless.
I think the original for sure was Global Connection, may have been the Stand Up Wireless, but their revised plan in 2018, which I filed, had the DBA Stand Up Wireless too. I mean, everything they file with the FCC goes under the DBA Stand Up Wireless.
Okay.
And in just casual discussion, Stand Up Wireless is what you prefer to be called, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's all of our marketing is under the Stand Up Wireless. We refer to ourselves as the Stand Up team. So, yes.
So looking at this list of states, and I think along the way you said that you had either recently been approved in Wyoming or expected it soon. So that one aside, but it seems like a lot of states that are similar to North Dakota, I'm thinking of Montana, Nebraska, South Dakota, are not on this list. Have you applied in those states?
We are approved in Nebraska.
We have, I think we're pending in every state that we don't have right now. I'm almost sure. Pending in Alaska, Montana, North Dakota. We're about to file in South Dakota. Pending in New Jersey, which should be approved soon. We recently approved in Mississippi. I'm going off the top of my head, but their intention is to be in every state that they can. They were recently approved in Florida. I don't know if that's in there.
I think Florida. The three ones were Alabama, Florida, and Mississippi. Those would be the three most recent states.
The FCC, or I'm sorry, Florida recently took back their jurisdiction from the FCC, so it's no longer what you call default state, where only the FCC can grant the designation. They were the first one to get approved in Florida, so that's a pretty new one. Virginia, New York, and Tennessee, Alabama, all four of those recently converted back to the state, too. But they are pending in every state they can, the exception of South Dakota, which we're about to file. They have some very particular requirements there. We're just getting it together. We're about to file there, though.
One comment just on the prepaid discussion we had a little bit ago here. So if you intend to offer prepaid services in North Dakota outside of Lifeline, there is a bonding requirement that exists within our rules. I would just say be aware of that to the extent that you're going to start doing that in this state. But otherwise, it's a good thing to be able to make multiple offerings like that. So I just wanted to point that out.
Thank you.
So your standard offering is 1,000 voice minutes, but unlimited for tribal members, unlimited text for everybody, 4.5 gigabytes of data standard, and 6.5 for tribal members, correct?
That is correct.
No charge for long distance and offering the free smartphone.
Correct.
And so the free handset, let me step back. Let's restart the question here. The numbers you said that you estimated 90,000 eligible Lifeline subscribers in North Dakota, and I forget what number you said, but I believe it was less than 10% of them have Lifeline service. With all the providers that we have here, it seems like we're approving them just very frequently. Why do you suppose that is? And what is going to be the big difference between you and them? You said the handset, and I get that that's a significant difference. Are there others that you want me to be aware of?
That is, I would say, probably the most significant difference is the handset. So prior to ACP and prior to EBB, the Lifeline industry was absolutely in decline. I was in this industry. I was working with Stand Up Wireless. We were one of the few that were still out in the field doing distribution, but it was in decline, and we were, it was getting tough. The margins were getting extremely slim. And then when EBB came along and ACP came along, it kind of breathed new life into the industry. So you've got more players. And now that ACP is gone, you're kind of back in that world. But I, we're still here. We're still distributing. We were before, but I would say that was not the case, like it, across the board. So I would say we are continuing to do what we've been doing prior to EBB being a thing. And we're getting into North Dakota now. We're having this new strategy of expanding into states where, you know, that are underserved throughout all the states. But
hey, Jason, I mean, yeah. It's my understanding, you probably know more what's going on in the street, but I've been told that TracFone and Assurance Wireless, which is part of T-Mobile now, pulled back and they're not even doing Lifeline right now. Is that true to your knowledge?
To my knowledge, that is true. And I can say then the last two times I've been in the field, the last 2 weeks, I haven't seen anybody from TracFone or Assurance in the field.
They were probably the two biggest, not probably, they were the two biggest Lifeline providers in the country. But AT&T bought TracFone and T-Mobile now owns Assurance, part of their merger, Sprint, et cetera. So those two pulling out probably made a huge difference and it left a hole too.
Well, those two have been recently designated in North Dakota, so whether they're out there selling it, they're required to offer it.
They were just designated? I know in other states they pulled out. Interesting that they got approved in North Dakota. But
I don't recall exactly what month it was, but just earlier this year.
Was it? Do you know if it was prior to May, prior to the end of ACP?
I don't know, but it doesn't seem like it's that long ago to me.
I don't think it was. Assurance was in the very recent past because we had some issues with some tribal things. It may have been since then, honestly.
Okay. Interesting. I share Lance's interest. That's interesting. Because they, like I said, they do seem to be pulling out. I live in Cincinnati, Ohio. And when I go downtown, I used to be able to see there's a certain area that's low income. And when I drove past there in previous years, without fail, I knew where the Assurance tents were. And I can always find a TracFone tent, but they were not there 2 weeks ago.
So as I'm kind of thinking about it a little bit clearer, I want to say sometime in July or early August is when we likely approved Assurance. TracFone was probably in that April, May, maybe as late as June timeframe.
I think there was greater hope of ACP getting gap funding then. So I don't know. I can't speak to their strategy, just what I've seen.
So I want to go back to what Victor had asked you about earlier. In your application, you say the company generates revenue from non-Lifeline services. Consequently, StandUp has not relied and does not intend to rely exclusively on Lifeline reimbursement for the company's operating revenues. And so that other non-Lifeline revenue is those 40,000 customers, that's it? Or is there something else that I missed you explaining to his earlier questions?
So I think maybe, Lance, are you able to? So, I mean, I can speak to those 40,000 subscribers and how revenue generating, but Lance, I don't know.
Do you know the date we filed the application? Because they were generating a lot of ACP revenues up until June. So
I believe this was filed in July, though.
July 3rd is when this was filed.
Yeah, they were still at that point we're generating. Was June the last month?
It would have been July 1st was the last.
Yeah. So I guess right prior to that, they had done a lot of ACP, which is non-lifeline. And I thought you guys had converted, I mean, like everybody else, tried to convert them to regular prepaid customers. I thought you did that to some extent, as much as you could.
Yeah, I mean.
And I know that from talking to the owner. I talk to him every day almost.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if there's anything else you can think of to include within that late file to help kind of support that piece of it, I think it would be helpful.
Yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, I mean, Stand Up's part of a consolidated group, which is Prepaid Wireless Group, which is a big network provider, the Vortex, the group that does, you know, manufactures and sells phones, and Stand Up, which is a lifeline owner. So there's an organization and group of affiliates that work together. You know, financials are, I think, consolidated for most purposes. So I guess the three companies together are really one operating entity.
So I mean, you can respond to this if you like. I don't know that it's a big factor for our case necessarily. Maybe it is, but I find it concerning that you make the statement that you have this other revenue, so you don't rely on lifeline reimbursement. And now to find out that what you had, so you didn't need to rely on lifeline reimbursement, was expired and was ACP, which is essentially an enhanced lifeline.
Yeah, they do have some, I mean, not lifeline customers, and they have top-ups. So if I run out of minutes and I top up, that's not lifeline. That's a prepaid user. So a lot of people have top-ups. So that's not lifeline revenue. I mean, lifeline always, top-ups is always considered non-lifeline because it is. It's not subsidized. The customer has to pay for that.
That is a good point. We have a significant number of customers that, you know, we give them free service, but they choose to purchase additional service on top of it. And if they happen to leave Lifeline, they can continue. We allow them to have access to the same top-ups, and that's a lot of customers choose to continue doing that. So I gapped on that, but that is a good point.
What do you know what percentage of customers have those top-ups, as you refer to them?
I don't know off the top of my head, but it is significantly more lately. So like in July, that number increased dramatically. I can run that down. We can add that.
Okay.
And so you participate and use the National Verifier to determine your initial credentials that they qualifications. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah. Yes. We use the National Verifier to make sure that the customer is eligible for the service before we enroll them. Absolutely.
And then is there an ongoing program to, you know, randomly double check some once in a while or something?
So there's the annual recertification process that every customer goes through. So there is that, yeah. And if we have any reason, if we come across information that indicates a customer no longer qualifies, then we put them into a process where we say, hey, you know, we have reason to believe you no longer qualify. Please respond to this and provide this information within 30 days or else we'll de-enroll you from the program.
How do you receive that information? On their qualifications?
So like it varies. It's like the one process that's coming to mind right now is there's a process where we find out if a subscriber has been deceased. If we find that out, you know, we'll reach out and say, hey, we have reason to believe you're no longer living. please provide proof of life. That's one example.
Well, that was the only example that I would think of, where someone's no longer, I don't want to say eligible, they're deceased, but what other incidents would you receive that they're no longer eligible? I mean, I can't do the flow map of that.
Oh, let's see. Well, if a customer moves states, that is an example. So if they've reached out to us and said, I no longer live in North Dakota, there is a process where we have to de-enroll them. And if they're moved to a state where they qualify, where we can provide service, that would be an example. So part of the rules is they have to update their address, you know, within 30 days of it changing. So if they reach out to us and say, hey, I moved, and that we find out you moved to an area where we cannot serve, or an area where, an area where we can't serve, whether we're not designated as an ETC or where it's not a zip code that we cover, that would be an instance where that process would start.
Yeah, and I was going to just make the observation for Commissioner Haugenhofer. That was a good point. And I think besides the beginning and then the demise of the ACP program, that in the last maybe 7 or 8 years, the significant lessening of dead customers is the big change I've seen in Lifeline. You know, there used to be a lot more. You don't have our law requires you to have information in your official telephone directory, and I understand from your application that you do not have a directory and are seeking a waiver from that. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay, thank you. That's correct. Sorry.
Okay. Did either of you have anything else?
Just one quick thing. I was thinking about this earlier, and then I forgot to look through it one last time before I came in. The certification to order provisions that were included with the application, Lance, that is our standard form, I believe. I don't believe there was any proposed modifications to our standard format. Is that correct?
That's correct. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. And that's all I have.
Okay. And Lance or Jason, did you have anything else you'd like to add?
Thank you for your time and the consideration.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you for your time and consideration. And I'd like to reiterate again that this company is uniquely situated to provide service in North Dakota. And I think you'll see them producing more Lifeline customers than the other Lifeline-only resellers have done in the past. And a lot of that is just a group of affiliates they have, and the financial stability and the different offerings, et cetera, that they give to each other.
I'm just pausing because I'm writing that down.
I think part of it was a tongue twister. I don't know if you're writing that down.
No, it was an important point, and I just wanted to get that.
I missed something there.
So are there any objections to the evidence that's been presented here today from becoming part of the official record? And when I say the evidence, there were no handouts since you guys aren't here, so it would just be the recording.
No objection from staff.
None from us. Thank you.
Okay, and you kind of both spoke at the same time. So, Lance, there was no objection from staff either. So since the evidence will then become part of the official record upon which a decision will be made, are there any other matters for the record today?
None for the applicant. Again, thank you for your time, and I'm sure the company looks forward to providing service in the state of North Dakota.
Okay, and Brian indicated none here. So this informal hearing is closed. Thank you both.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Have a good day.